The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. From Bar Canada at the D, downtown Las Vegas, Gil Alexander.
Sigma Derby action.
Kelly Bidlin, look at that. It used to be that they were showing Sigma Derby here for those
oldest,
who are watching.
I believe the oldest casino game in Las Vegas.
It is, but there used to be like two of them in town. Now there's more than that, aren't there?
No. They do the new ones. There's one further across this room that's the electronic
version. But that one we just saw is one of the authentic old ones.
Yeah. I think Derek paid a hefty price for it.
Did he?
Yeah.
You know, Joe Fortenbaugh, our buddy over there at ESPN, Joe Fortenbaugh is obsessed with Sigma Derby. He wanted to buy one, too.
That's awesome.
And he wanted to bring
hours.
It home, though. Like, could you imagine explaining that to your wife? I'm just going to put the old Sigma Derby here in the living room.
Yeah, my grandmother had a slot machine in her house. Like, as a kid, it was, like, beyond fascinating. Are you kidding me? I was, like, a six-year-old. I played that for hours.
Joe, why is there a Sigma Derby in our living room?
Still, this is a coffee table.
Still to come this hour. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. And Kelly and I do our first power rankings in the National Football League. But first, he has regaled us with tales of his days in Japan, at Freaknik in Atlanta. Never his days at the University of Colorado, because those are too risque for this radio program. It's Mike Pritchard, everybody. Colorado alumni and, of course, national champion. How you doing, Mike?
I am great. You know, that's a great idea to have that derby at the crib, though. I mean,
you want that
cornhole or a derby, right?
Cornhole in the middle of your house as well.
That's good. Heads up.
Honey, you don't mind if I start throwing this like hacky sack thing around the house, do you?
Right.
It's no problem. All right. I'm going to ask you a few questions, Mike, because obviously now let's start with your University of Colorado Buffaloes. 2-0, obviously, after rolling Nebraska. And just absolutely dominating them in the second half. Really a first half where, quite frankly, they were probably lucky to be where they were based on the events of the first half. Because Nebraska just kept handing them the ballgame. And then the second half, they just rolled them. And now we've got the in-state rival, Colorado State. Their huge favorites are the Buffaloes. And then it becomes the real sort of test against both Oregon and USC. And I'm just curious how you feel. Because I have really long shot bets on both Shedeur Sanders at 150-1 and on Travis Hunter at 60-1. Currently to win the Heisman, Shedeur at DraftKings 18-1, Travis Hunter 35-1. Would you make those bets, or would you prefer Dion for Bear Bryant Coach of the Year Award at 5-1?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great bets out there right now. Shedeur is surprising people. And to me, you know, to win back-to-back Heismans for Caleb Williams would be incredible. But Shedeur is a big story right now. You know, he's going to have the stats. He's going to have the profile. He's going to have the record, I believe, too, to kind of support that. Travis Hunter as well. I mean, the two-way star that he is and making an impact, too. But it's going to come down to those big games. You mentioned it, Gil. I mean, head-to-head with Caleb, with SC. Certainly, Bo Nix on the road in Oregon. I mean, that's going to be a big test for the Buffs, as the Pac-12 is a really competitive conference this year. Dion as Coach of the Year, I wonder if the sentiment is too negative on him from a voting standpoint, if you know what I mean, because he is Coach Prime, right?
He is.
He is Neon Dion, right? And sometimes voters, they hate on that for whatever reason. But Colorado is the talk of the sporting world because of one person. The impact that he's made, not only on the field, but economically for Colorado, the university, for the region, for the Rocky Mountain, for the Big 12 in the future. I don't know how you overlook that from a Coach of the Year standpoint. So I like those bets, to be honest with you. I'm bullish Colorado. I have been all offseason. And they have not played a complete game yet. Against TCU, they didn't really play that great. They did at times and it spurts and they were able to be explosive. But against Nebraska, the defense kind of held them in. You're right. The Nebraska Cornhuskers turned the ball over repeatedly. And that's tough, you know, back-to-back home openers that they're going up against. And that was tough for them. But I'm waiting for CU to put together a complete game for 60 minutes and be dominant when they do that. And to me, that would be a true assessment of how good they could be this year, this season.
Hey, Pritch, Kelly Bidlin here. Good to talk to you, as always. I want to go back to Shedeur Sanders real quick, because I don't know if you guys caught this, but Mel Kiper has him number 3 on his big boards now for quarterbacks in the NFL draft. How do you see him projecting to the next level? Or is this way too early to be talking about any of this?
Kelly, it is early. I mean, there's such a process and evaluation of what's going to happen. But I will say this, what stands out to me about Shedeur and what's going to stand out to scouts and certainly GMs on the next level is his ability or his willingness to kind of stand in a pocket, right? You know, this is a guy who will take a hit, absorb a hit because he wants to be a pocket passer. And he's a big physical player, too. And so I think from that standpoint, GMs are going to look at that, his willingness to kind of stand in the pocket, distribute the football. He sees the field very, very well. I mean, he delivers an accurate pass. He's got a strong arm. He's got great footwork in the pocket, too, as well. I mean, sliding around. So there's a lot to love about him. He's a playmaker, you know, and I think he's going to climb. I mean, we had surprises with Anthony Richardson last year, right, in the draft from an athleticism standpoint. But from a pure pocket passer and the pedigree being Coach Sanders' son, I mean, there's going to be a lot to like about that. So I can see why Mel is all excited and all giddy about Shedeur Sanders.
I'll be honest with you. I think it's too low. I think he should be number 2. I really do.
Yeah.
Like, he's such a great kid, too. Like, there's nothing not to like about him.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. And I love it. But from what I've seen, it's just, what were we talking about a month ago? How's this guy going to translate to playing FBS football, right?
Yeah. Like, well, I think we've seen.
A lot's changed in a month. Yeah.
Last thing on Colorado, let's forget about the 23.5 against Colorado State this week.
Right.
What about catching 14.5 at Oregon? Would you take that?
I would, absolutely. I mean, you know, this week's kind of scary for me because it is a rivalry game, and there's a lot of kids from South Florida or Texas or all over the country. And they're not really accustomed to what this rivalry game is all about because CSU's little brother and all those kids want to go to CU, but they can't, right? And so they're going to be up for this game. It's going to be a big game on campus again. But Coach Prime has done a great job of getting the guys ready. But I am worried about, you know, covering that big spread, to be honest with you. The slow starts kind of worry me a little bit, so I'm not going to lay it there, but certainly taking the points on the road against Oregon. I'm so looking forward to that matchup. I cannot
everyone
wait for that
is.
Game.
Yeah, everyone is. By the way, when you text Dion, do you refer to him as Coach Prime on the text? What do you call him?
It is Dion. Dion, he's Dion.
Oh, okay, I was wondering.
Yeah.
All right, week 1 National Football League. What was your single, as someone who played the game, what was your single biggest thing now that the week is complete where you were like, okay, that is something that I don't think enough people are talking about?
Ooh, the disappointment of Seattle and the disappointment of the Steelers. You know, both of those teams got decimated at home. Both of those teams have lofty expectations, and they're good teams. But they laid an egg or wet the bed, whatever phrase you want to use here in terms of playing a competitive football game. So I don't know if enough people are talking about that because they are good teams. They're really good teams, and certainly from a betting standpoint, a lot of people were looking to back those two teams.
I'm looking to back them again. So
they got
to
get it. And Kelly, if they don't start to get it right, I think panic starts to set in a little bit for those two teams with a slow start.
So let's just take those two teams. So the Seahawks are, you know, 6-point dogs at Detroit. Hmm? Don't you think that's an overreaction? I get it. Detroit beat Kansas City, but it was a Chris Jones and Travis Kelce-less Chiefs team. Still a big win. I'm not saying it's not. And then the Seahawks, yeah, they got destroyed, but again, a week ago, we wouldn't believe this line, right? That's too many points, isn't it?
Well, I think so. You know, you got some rest advantage for Detroit, obviously, playing Thursday night, and then Seattle going on the road. You know, play that poorly at home. So this is what's going to happen. Pete Carroll, like, starting today, they're going to implement, you know, competition Wednesday again. You got to fight for your job because it's a young team. He's got to get the attention of all these younger players with higher expectations. Because obviously what they did leading into their opener against the Rams did not work. Geno, he's got to play better. What's their identity? Are they going to want to run the football, or are they going to be prolific with these three elite level wide receivers that they have? So I think Seattle's still trying to figure it out. It's tough to lay 6 points, to be honest with you. I'll be honest with you with Detroit. But Detroit has kind of calmed down, if you will, defensively. They know who they are. They're going to be more conservative. Aaron Glenn is not taking as many chances. And then they're going to let that offense try to get in gear. And it is an explosive offense. They can be. They have to get the deep ball going, but they can be a consistent offense out there. And I think that's probably indicative of the number right now.
Yeah, I should mention both starting tackles for the Seahawks, though, are questionable. So we'll keep our eye on that. That you should definitely throw into your handicapping mix. And the other thing about the Steelers Monday night, they're 2.5-point dogs again. Last week they were to the Niners, obviously got rolled right from the get in that game. This is 2.5-point favorites against their division rival Browns. I feel like that's a Steelers play again. Maybe I'm just banging my head against a wall, but I feel like it is.
It could be. I mean, the thing about the Steelers, too, is that identity crisis, just what I was mentioning about Seattle, because the Steelers model or their MO, if you will, is to run the football and be physical. They got beat that way. They got beat that way defensively by a physical running game from San Francisco. And then on the opposite side, they tried to be prolific. They tried to throw the ball over the yard, and Pickett wasn't up to snuff. He didn't play that well. So it's like an identity thing, because they have the personnel, the Steelers. They have the personnel to be highly prolific offensively, but they haven't demonstrated that, right? So there's some forces right there in play, and it's a divisional game too. And to me, dictates a tight game as well.
Pritch, thank you so much. Always appreciate it, man.
I appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
Mike Pritchard at MI Pritchard, VSiN's own, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our first ever power rankings in 2023. Next, fisticuffs on the way.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up today for only $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. You know what would be the ultimate baller move for me to do today?
What's that?
Leave here, go to the airport. I don't have a flight. I wish I had thought about this beforehand. Fly to the Giants game. Watch the Giants game. Fly back.
It would be, but you did that last week.
Yeah, but I didn't have to fly back because it was a Friday.
Oh, you're saying it the same day.
Yeah, same day. Yeah. Oh, that'd be baller.
Sorry. What, did you spend a whole 18 hours in San Francisco last week?
Yeah.
Still went 24.
No. But this would be shorter. Right. Anyway, you know what else? Like, do you have when you're texting, this is just a random thought. When you're texting, is there a letter or a number or something on your keyboard that you will you'll mess up on, like, not only once or twice, but 3 or 4 or 5 times in a row?
Yes, but now you're putting me on the spot, so I can't think of what it would be.
I can
be.
Tell you exactly what mine
now
is.
Now I got to pull it up and...
The letters B and V... I can literally try to hit those 6 or 7 times in a row, and I will never get it right.
I think that's a common one, I would guess.
Oh,
now, see,
God.
You don't have to deal with the fat fingers problem like I got to deal with, so that makes it even harder.
Fingers. Man has some fat fingers, ladies and gentlemen.
But the V and B, if you think about it, it's like dead center, too.
Dead center.
So it's getting your dead center of your thumb.
That's what it is.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Science here on the Numbers Game.
Glad we solved that problem. Before we get to our power rankings, we get tweets at Beanie the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody on these, and these are in volume today. Really appreciate these. This is from Brian M. Chad Henney from the Rafters. He says the Jets apparently have inquired about former Chiefs quarterback Chad Henney, who retired from last season's Super Bowl victory. Huh, that would be from the Rafters. That's for sure.
Wow.
Again, I think it's going to be either Colt McCoy or...
I was a Zach Wilson fan in college. Don't get me wrong. I'm not that guy who's still saying, like, oh, Zach Wilson. Yeah, totally. He's going to be your guy. But, like, do we really think Chad Henne would be that much better than Zach Wilson?
I think we do. I think a game manager is better than a dude who still doesn't see the field. Like, he doesn't see the field, man.
I mean, again, it's all crazy to me because none of these guys are leading you to a Super Bowl. But like, I keep like I'm hearing the Ryan Tannehill stuff this morning too, and I'm like, I can't even imagine another team.
He's brutal.
Going to pick up Ryan Tannehill.
Mike Stacks, I'm with you, Gil, on the Broncos. Talk about Survivor here. No other option on the schedule that I like. All in on Denver. Wow, I like him. I'm not going all in on him, but I like him. Todd Bubba Horwitz, Gil, thanks for the tennis picks. We were live with a bad beat yesterday. Love your insights and your picks. Thank you. Thank you. It's very nice of you. He also says, why is Steele not the favorite for Cy Young? Lowest ERA, most wins on worse team than Snell. I said Smell. Listen, he's like we've said, he could very well be the guy. David Shalafour. Hey, guys, need advice on college football picks. It's called Long Shots.
I just laughed. I just saw that went through and laughed.
It is the most heavily promoted podcast on God's green earth. No other podcast gets promoted, but it's called Long Shots.
Speaking of which, after a massive offseason, new Long Shots episode up now.
Fortinet. Oh, Kelly's got Fortinet picks coming up. Still look forward to that.
I think because it's football season, we've calmed down the promos big time on it.
Oh, I still hear him.
Really? Okay, good.
Well, I mean, you know what I don't hear? You know what I don't hear? A promo for any other podcast. Garrett Gibson. Bengals to win AFC North plus 245 at DraftKings. 8% plus EV to Circus plus 195. It's a three-quarters unit bet for me.
I'm completely fine with that. Go back to what I said when we were talking AFC North. I think there is a chance that this is the longest you see the Bengals at all season.
Joe Abraham. Love that you're not a trend show. Most trends have no meaning, not enough sample size many times. More importantly, the team-specific trends are silly when rosters change almost entirely over a 3 to 4 year period. Joe Abraham, ergo, why we are not a trend show. Nevada Azer. We sure the Bills are a slam dunk this weekend. You could say that about any team in the NFL. Team's a slam dunk.
I always go back to what was Matt Brown's favorite trend always cracked me up. The umpire, the home umpire.
Oh, my God.
Because everybody wants to stick around for an extra half inning.
When we hear that one, the home umpire trend. Oh, this guy on the at-home games. Oh, God.
Top of ninth, like he's calling stuff to make sure he gets to the bottom of the inning.
That's right. Well, this umpire is Philip Kim. I'm with Kelly on Tampa Bay. Will Hill seems to forget it will be 88 degrees with high humidity, and that will favor the home team. Same with the Jaguars game. Ryan Hyatt still waiting to hear the official numbers game reverberation of respect sound effect for Will Hill that we heard yesterday with Mark Borchard. Chili Gambler. Am I crazy to think Matt Olson at 200-1 for MVP right now has a legit shot to cash? He's leading the majors in home run and RBI by over 10%. I know Acuna has been amazing, but it seems much closer than these odds suggest. Whatever odds you see on Matt Olson, I would agree, are far more out of whack than they are in probable voter reality. I totally agree with that statement.
I do think the same team thing's a thing, though, right?
Yes.
Like, if he was on any other team, his odds would be naturally shorter just because of Acuna not on there.
But your point, Chili Gambler's point, is a good one, which is, do I think he should be nearly as long of a shot as he is? You're absolutely right. He shouldn't be. Do I think that means he's going to win it? Probably not. But it's awards, man. Who knows? Who knows? Again, I always bring up the Brandon Crawford thing, right? My buddy in San Francisco, who's not a sports bettor at all, but is a Giants fan. Was it 2 years ago, the year that Soto got edged out by Harper in the National League? He was like, so Gil, Brandon Crawford's the MVP of the NL, right? And I thought to myself, I'm like, maybe we're way too close to the sun on all of this. Brandon Crawford ended up finishing third. So we never talked about him. He was like 100-1. So we're too close to the sun on a lot of this. The market inevitably does not reflect reality.
Sorry, I got thrown off by one more tweet we just got. Steven Vegas has figured out my favorite option so far yet for the Jets. Tyrod Taylor. Yes.
Oh.
Mobile guy, not run.
Not a turnover. He's the opposite of Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
It's a good call.
I think that's my favorite one so far.
You ready for power rankings?
Let's go.
Power rankings. Do we have an intro?
No, I don't think so yet.
We do not. Yeah. Power rankings.
So we're just going to naturally go into yours.
106.1 The Buzz.
103.1 The Buzz.
My NFL power rankings are I stepped on your joke.
No, you're good. You're good.
It's a combination of what I thought of these teams before the season started, and I'm not trying to get too influenced by what I saw week one.
Okay. That's how you and I have always kind of taken it. It is.
My priors will slough off here in the next couple of weeks, but not after 1 week. I got the Jags at number 10. Did just enough to stay in my thoughts in the top 10. I have the Ravens at 9. I know they didn't do anything that impressive, but I still think that franchise deserves it at this point. I mean, the real key to all of this, and we said this last year, there is such a drop off after like 11 and 12.
Real quick, though, did you feel like you needed to put the Jags at 10?
Like, yes.
I felt the same way. I think I have them at 10. I felt the same way.
So my two teams on the outside are the Lions and the Patriots, 11 and 12. I have the Jets at 8, even though I get it. They don't have a quarterback. There aren't that many. That defense is good enough, right, is great enough where I still left them in. I know that's probably going to leave immediately, but I just, for 1 week, they're in there because of that defense. Bills at 7. I don't want to overreact. Chargers at 6. Their defense might be terrible, but God, there's too much talent not to have them in there. Mm-hmm. And then the top 5, the Dolphins, despite not knowing about that defense, are number 5. And then the big 4 includes 3 NFC teams. The Cowboys are 4 after that shellacking of a Giants team that I don't think is any good. The Eagles remain 3. I just think not playing in preseason hurt them in week 1. The Chiefs, they get Chris Jones back. I'm not overreacting to their loss. They're number 2. And the Niners, for what they did in week 1 and the priors, they are number 1.
Okay, there is one shocking omission to me on here.
What did I leave
who'd you say was 11 and 12?
Lions,
Patriots?
Patriots. Who did I leave
out? Where are the Bengals for you?
Yes. They're like, they weren't there because they were so bad. You're right. You're right. It was completely inconsistent. And I might have done a Stephen A. Smith thing where I completely forgot about them. But I don't think I did.
I didn't want to bring that up before the show because I thought you were going to go hard against them. Okay.
They're not that far out. They're right behind that, right? But it's like, I don't know.
But there's a jumble down there. I'm with you once you get past top 5 or so. It's tough. There's a jumble for me, too.
It's tough. I mean, I think the Jets will come out quick, and I think the Bengals will come in quick.
Okay. Yeah. So if we go to mine, we have the same 10-9. I'll work backwards like you did because that was, look, you get to that. My top 5, I love my top 5, and you can kind of throw them in any order. I went Jags 10, Ravens 9, Browns 8. I love this defense.
Wow.
If Deshaun Watson could get any better, I think this team could be very, very real this year. Chargers, Dolphins, they played each other. We might as well group them together. I think these are going to be two of the best offenses in the NFL this season. Chargers, you have dudes on paper that we lead us to believe your defense shouldn't be complete crap, but it sure looked like that week 1. It'd be nice if you showed us a little more. So because of week 1, I did go them 7, Dolphins 6. This top 5 you could put in any order, but this was my preseason top 5. I'll stand by it after week 1. I made it simple and just put all 3 NFC teams at the top, Eagles, Cowboys, Niners, and then went Chiefs, Bengals, simply because of the week 1 performances. That's where I shifted guys around.
So our top 4 is the same. You have Bengals and Browns in the top 10, whereas I had the Jets with that defense. And who was my other one that I had?
Jets
in there?
And
what was the other one? I can't remember.
Bills.
The Bills.
Jets and Bills.
You shouldn't have omitted the Bills, as I should have
Bills
omitted.
Were probably like
and I shouldn't have omitted
me.
The Bengals. Yep. We're coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football's back in full swing with another week of epic games, and who's got you covered on the action for every single one of them? Why, DraftKings Sportsbook does, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. I went Chris Cuomo there. I did the Y thing in the middle of the sentence. New customers can bet $5 on football, get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Get in on the NFL Week 2 action with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code VEGAS to sign up. New customers can bet just $5 and take home $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code VEGAS. The crown is yours. Nemesis Enforcer. I jinxed it. I didn't realize until later that Ostapenko came back and won. I got down at the start of the third, and I was like, where's my payout? Checked the score and was like, okay. What he's referring to is he prematurely called our victory yesterday on Ekaterina Alexandrova over Ostapenko. She was up 5-2 in the third set and literally in 15 minutes had lost the match.
Oh, man.
If I didn't know any better.
Like, how many points did she win after that?
Maybe 3 or 4. I didn't know any better. That Pepsi guy. Hey, Gil, did I miss the tennis pick? No tennis picks today. I didn't like anything in San Diego. Nick Shea. Pretty sure Derek was on an episode of Pawn Stars talking about Derek Stevens when he was selling Sigma Derby to Rick. Who's Rick?
I don't know. That's interesting. Oh, he's probably on Pawn Stars.
That could be.
I just don't think either you or I watch it.
Sorry. Michael Lafon. I like when Mike Pritchard is on your show. Can you get him to assess wide receiver over-under props? It seems his background would lend him great insight to those bets. Good suggestion. This is from Ray. Minshew or bust for the Jets? He's a Minshew guy.
Okay.
Steven Vegas, you're a Tyrod Taylor. He said game manager, doesn't turn the ball over. You mentioned this earlier. Took a similar Bills team in 2017 to the playoffs. But again, why would the Giants trade him? I mean, that's the big thing about all this. People think teams are willy-nilly going to let go of their backup quarterbacks. Most important position, quarterback. Second most important position, backup quarterback. You don't want to leave yourself exposed. 3Jack H1, 3131. Talking, typing errors. Oh, this got a lot of response.
Yeah.
For some reason, I always end up with "oh duck." Yes, we all do. Yep. We all do. Instead, when I tried to type something else, generally
mine doesn't anymore because I've written it enough times.
Yeah. Yes. Oh no, no, mine still goes to that. Generally happens when I'm watching football and texting. Ricky P says the struggle is real for me. It's the letters E and F when I type the. It comes out T. THR.
Oh, interesting.
It is so bad, it auto-corrects now. The fat fingers are real. You know what it is for me? The word just comes out juts every single time. Drives me crazy.
Well, we got a lot of tweets about the auto-correct thing. If it's any betting term that a word could possibly be auto-corrected to, my phone does that now.
I also seem to type the word shot all the time, and I don't really intend. Chance Copperpot, my button issues with hand computer is this one, the UIO area. It's the nemesis of these fat fingers, and don't even get me started on auto-correct. Yeah, on and on with those. That apparently hit a nerve with folks. Jason Weingarten is kind enough to join us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. Always a fascinating follow. He joins us now. How you doing, Jason?
Good morning. My problem is always when I type PK, like pick, it comes out okay.
Oh.
You know, bet Packers, okay. No, I meant bet Packers, PK. You know, like
what's so interesting about it is, and maybe it's just me, but in that moment, if it continues to, there's a moment where you get so frustrated with it, where you're like, oh, stop it.
Well, then I do it again, and it corrects to okay again.
Says,
you know, and you just look like an idiot sending 7 text messages.
Over,
you know,
and
gambling
over.
Life.
Yes, gambling life. That's exactly right. All right, what did you bet in Major League Baseball? Full day of baseball, and a lot of these games, super meaningful.
I bet Baltimore today. I bet them yesterday, and wouldn't you know it, they finally lost the game to Adam Wainwright, because that's just how baseball works. So that's kind of my biggest play today. Not like a huge play overall, just, you know, biggest play in general. Then other than that, I think pretty light. I think I bet the Royals. Don't ask me why. It's one of those you don't have to watch.
Yeah, you're not required to watch the Royals White Sox game.
Make money on this one.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's basically about it. I wish it was a more exciting day. I know there's some, you know, Cy Young games, but not much going on for me.
Spencer Strider on the hill. Do something.
He popped to like 100-1 or something. So someone's gonna bite it at 100-1.
Someone is. I mean, I even said, and you know, for those of us who have Strider tickets, it would require like a no hitter at this point, right? Like if he no hit, all of a sudden you'd be like, whoa, wait a minute. But anything short of that, like 3.83, you ain't winning this, man. You're just not.
Yeah, can't do it. You want to do it, but you can't.
Yeah. Okay. What are you betting the NFL in volume? Are you in contest? What's your story with the NFL?
No contest. I have one survivor, but not the big ones in Vegas. But yeah, betting college and NFL pretty regularly, doing pretty well. I actually had a nice Saturday, followed it up with a average to slightly decent Sunday. Nothing too crazy. I did bet the Jets week 2 already.
You
such
took
a
the
weird
points.
Spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I took 9.5 points. I mean, I know Zach Wilson and everything, but he gets a whole week of practicing with first team offense. Like, you know, it's kind of a now or never sort of thing. If he's still not covering 9.5 points at this point in his career, like, you know, when are you going to turn that switch?
No, I mean, for sure. And that is really the thing. Like, if, you know, of the Jets scenarios, because we started the show by saying, or I started the show by saying, hey, you know, like, I'm this story doesn't mesmerize me like it does others. That is the scenario, right? If he comes out and he just lays a complete egg, right, then they are forced at that point, despite the fact that, the first 6 games are going to be impossible anyway. You just want to get through that gauntlet with, at this point, 2 wins, I would say, if you gave him truth serum. But if he is so, so bad, like if they realize, oh, okay, this guy, despite having 2 training camps now, has not improved at all, they will be forced to go in panic mode and make a move immediately. But I mean, they're really hoping, obviously, that they get something that looks serviceable this week. You think it could happen, in other words?
I'm saying you can't go. You got the Patriots week three, and then you got the Chiefs. You cannot go into the Chiefs game week four with Zach Wilson coming off two losses here. You know, you're lucky you banked that win week one.
You are.
With the Bills just now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, these next two games are huge for your entire season. And the thing, I think the biggest takeaway from the Monday Night Football game, other than the whole Aaron Rodgers thing, is that was an elite defense out there. That's a playoff caliber defense the Jets have. So you don't want to squander that. You don't want to waste it, you know. And there's only so many weeks that those guys can go out there and play high-level defense with the offense not producing until it just, you know, sinks the season. So
if you're going to take 9.5, don't you just wait for 10, though? Don't you just wait for people to bet the Cowboys to 10 and then grab that?
Do you think it moves to 10? I mean, you can also find somewhere to let you buy 10 to 120 if you're impatient like me.
I mean, here's the thing.
I might have actually done that already.
The Cowboys couldn't have looked any better. The Jets, yes, they're lucky to bank the win, but people just know it's not Aaron Rodgers anymore. It's Zach Wilson.
And isn't that traditionally one of the best spots is the week one underperformance versus the week one overperformance?
100% it is. But I guess the point is, based on that perception, one would think it would get to 10 and then you probably take it.
If only I still had a database of spreads, I could tell you that the Cowboys traditionally is a very large favorite. I'm pretty sure was traditionally a historically bad bet.
The old Spreadopedia database.
I no longer
database.
Have that information at my fingertip.
Yeah. Who ended up with the Spreadopedia database? Was it your buddy, Steve?
Oh, no. I mean, it just, it's never been updated.
It's
not posted on a server anymore.
I see.
You know, it's not in existence at the moment. It's likely never going to be in existence again.
All right. By the way, college football, you mentioned you're doing well. I know you are like me. We are on the Colorado bandwagon. We're betting it every which way. What are you doing? Are you betting in-game primarily, college football?
I do pregame, halftime, full, you know, second halves. A lot of in-game stuff. You know, I really do like the extreme unders, you know, betting under 20. There's sort of incremental stuff where you could bet a team to win, you know, by 19 to 24 points or 25 plus points or whatever. Stuff like that. I tend to kind of look for some live markets like that. But in general, it's just sort of just normal betting the good numbers and trying to beat the market and, you know,
it really is so true, though. I mean, we're all obsessed with the NFL. Lord knows I am. Do two podcasts on it. Most of our content is NFL. But as a betting vehicle, like if we're being honest, one of them is Plinko on Sundays. And then there's college football on Saturdays where you can really, like, again, no sport reveals itself as quickly as do college football games. And so it's both an in-game and an oftentimes a pre-flop boon for us. Give me, before we leave, because we've got 30 seconds, give me one random thing in the global sports world that you're betting on this weekend.
Well, I'm done with FIBA. I told you I had the Latvia-Lithuania second half yes. parlay. That was the plus EV analytics play.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention, that's so great. You know, other guests you've had, like Matt, I've made really good money on stuff that he shared with me. So it's not only like you get guys like me, you get guys like Matt on this show who are, you know, really, really good and share good info.
Talk about Matt Brown?
No, Matt plus EV Analytics.
Oh, Matt plus EV Analytics. Buckalter. Matt Buckalter is phenomenal. Phenomenal. Jason, we got a roll. Do you want to say something?
I was just saying, I saw Matt tweet out earlier today. He's diving into NBA win totals this year. Got me pumped. Yeah.
That's a good thing. Jason, thank you.
Looking forward to that. See you guys later.
You too. Coming back right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nobody knows football like VSiN. Now's the time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for college and pro games every week. Our picks page recapping all the best bets from guests and hosts throughout the day in one convenient place. This season, we have a top VSiN experts leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. And our betting splits lets you know where the money and bets are moving for every game. The betting splits page updated with DraftKings betting data every 5 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options to become part of the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. You know how some things like stick in your head and you think you purge them, but then like you move on and it stays in your head. You're like, now why is that staying in my head? Mm-hmm. You know what's staying in my head right now?
Matt Olson.
Matt Olson, 200 to 1.
Because I'm like, I know it stayed in your head because you were just messing around with it on the break.
Because it's such a good point.
Yeah.
Even though it's one of these things. Is it gonna win? I don't know. But it's so tempting at that number. You're like, because we don't know what these people are thinking. We say it with every one of these awards.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
tied Andrew Jones last night, right?
For the franchise record.
Yeah, for the franchise record in home runs.
Yeah, Braves
still
franchise
impressive record. With all the great hitters that have played on the Braves over the years.
We get tweets at Benny the Book, Russ Harden, Gill. So the hackers were to blame for the audio issues yesterday. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what happened. Keep up the great work. Yeah. Thank you. I'll go with that, Russ Harden. You see this one from Frank Doyle.
Yes, I did. And Frank, I feel you, buddy.
Frank,
seriously,
buddy.
I feel you. Bro. I know where you're coming from.
He tried placing a $5 bet on Matt Olson, and he was limited to $3.75.
What's great is I don't even know what book this is. So.
I think it's one of these.
The one that's open every day of the year.
The one that the one that rhymes with Pretty Boy Floyd.
Oh, okay.
I think. Hopefully that trader allows my additional $1.25 to clear. Is this where we have gotten?
Yes, we have.
Are we booking or are we not? What are we doing? Sports betting guy. Over under 1.5 of Gil's remaining survivor entries on the Giants this week. Under minus 350, he says. LOL. Vison should buy Gil 10 entries just for the sake of content. You get me into Survivor now. I'm never going back. Such a blast. It is. It's the biggest blast in the world. And by the way, I make no bones about that. I won't have them in more than one. I promise you that. But I might have them in one for sure. Phil Weiss, I don't know who he's referring to. He goes, he is so bad, I'd rather have a 50-year-old Bubby Brister, but I don't know who he's referring to. Oh, Zach Wilson, he says, yeah.
I was going to say, that can apply to a lot of people that we've brought up on this show so far.
Yeah. Okay, we have a couple things to do here before we get out of here. One of them is, we lost. Here's what happened when primetime action ended and me, Kelly, and Matt Brown went our separate ways within the network. He won Teaser Tuesdays in the divorce, correct?
I don't know.
When him and Stormy were doing a show?
Yes, I think that's how it went.
So we can't do Teaser Tuesdays anymore?
I relented. I gave him the boat. You know, I took the house. That sort of thing.
We could just get him to kick field goals now. We'd be on to something. All right, you want to do Teaser Wednesdays?
Yeah, we're doing Teaser Wednesdays.
Wednesday.
It's Teaser Time. How about
Teaser
that?
Time.
Teaser Time.
Oh, for this we have
Teaser
an intro.
Time.
We have an intro and I stepped all over it.
No,
so
you're
sorry.
Fine.
So sorry.
Worked.
Teaser Time. That's that quick one.
Yeah.
All right. Teaser legs. Kelly Bidlin with poetic license to throw these up. Usually these are Wong teaser legs. Stanford Wong, pseudonym, real name John Ferguson, lives in the San Diego area. Wrote the book on these. Identified the best plus EV legs in football betting in the NFL. Again, the primer on this is they really are total dependent. The larger the total, the less value it has. The shorter the total, the smaller the total, the lower the total. That's the right word. This is what you're really, really trying to hone in on. Teaser legs that take you from short 1.5 to 2.5 dogs, both road and home, through the 3 and the 7, or a home favorite of between 7.5 and 8.5 that you get to tease down through the 7 and the 3. You have candidates on the screen, sir. Is that what you have on Teaser Time? Is that what you
got? Yes, I do. I'll read through. We've got Eagles laying 7. Obviously, that is tomorrow night. Eagles -7 hosting the Vikings. Bills. Okay, I wish this was available here in Vegas. It's not, though. 8.5 over at DraftKings. Well, at least this morning when I built this graphic. I don't know where it's at now. Bills 8.5 hosting the Raiders. And then we got Falcons catching 2 against the Packers at home. 49ers laying 7.5 at the Rams. Patriots catching 2.5 at home against the Dolphins. That is Sunday night. And then the Steelers catching 2 on Monday home against the Browns.
All right. All Wong teaser legs except for the first one. Eagles just basically to win on the road against the Vikings.
First of all, have you made any bets?
I have not.
I've made one. I did do an Eagles-Niners one basically on opening lines because that Niners number began to run. I thought it was going to get out of teaser range here. Well, I love that it's still in teaser range because I might be adding a couple more around it. Or
Will Hill is right. This feels like a teaser week.
Yes.
Mine would be, if you're asking me what's the one you would do, first and last, Eagles-Steelers.
Steelers, that's where I keep going back and forth whether I'm going to include them with a leg. If I could get 8.5 here in Vegas, I would be including the Bills.
And if the Steelers mess me up for a second straight week, shame on me.
Yeah. 49ers, I love that leg. I'm scared how much I love that leg. I'm trying to, just like we did last week, I would still caution people, we are very early in the season. I don't know if this is the best time, like it might be mid-year, to be sinking a lot of money into teasers with, there's still going to be some surprises out there. We talked at the beginning of the show how much there's an over-adjustment in the lines from week one to week two. So all of this, there's just more variance that can happen than what we think later in the season, right? So as I'm going to hold back a little bit, but I will have at least a couple that include the Niners.
My third favorite, if you know, Eagles and Steelers are my favorite two legs. My third favorite leg is the Patriots, which I think is a fascinating game because the Patriots defense looks so good against the Eagles. Again, an Eagles team that didn't play Jalen Hurts or many of its starters during the preseason. So that was really a preseason game for the Eagles in that respect. But a Patriots defense that still earned the respect of Nick Sirianni against a Dolphins team where you wonder, is that Patriots defense good enough to hold in a way that the Chargers couldn't, or is Tyreek Hill just that good that he's going to crush everybody?
I think the Patriots, and this is where, look, I think week one it came into play, and I think week two will come into play where, hey, if we do talk about Bill Belichick and this coaching staff being one of the best in the league, I think this shows up again because it's, hey, we know their defense is trash. If we can just slow down that Dolphins offense a little bit, we can stay in this game. And that's what you're looking for when you're doing teasers, right? All you need is the Patriots to hang around.
I like the Bills. I do not like the Falcons leg at all. The Falcons leg is the one I can't stand.
You keep dancing around the Niners. You're Niners. You don't like that one?
I don't love that.
Wow, okay. I'm impressed by what you saw out of the Rams.
I don't know. I just get the willies from that one. Spider sense is tingling, is all I'm saying.
That doesn't make me feel good.
Spider sense tingling.
Right. I love it.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you know, there's a golf podcast that we do. It's called Long Shots. Kelly Bidlin is a co-host along with Matt Brown and Wes Reynolds, and it's the Fortinet Championship this week?
Yeah, a few weeks ago they had the D&D Real Masters, I believe it was called, over in Europe. So we went D&D a few weeks ago. We're going to play Fortnite this week. They got to play golf, then they got to play Fortnite afterwards.
Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah, Dungeons and Dragons.
Mm, gotcha. Yeah, I hear what you said.
I'm even more familiar with that than Fortnite. I don't even really know what that is. I know it's a game that a bunch of kids play.
Do you have picks for us?
Yes, I do. I do have Fortnite Championship. So this is a little wonky. Just real quick, I'll walk through this. This is the fall swing, but keep in mind we have a brand new PGA Tour schedule that begins in January, so this fall swing, Gil, is not a part of last season or this upcoming season
like it
usually is, but this is the one thing I'm going to applaud the Tour for. I think they did a good job with what they're making this fall swing. It allows some of these guys who are on the outside of this top 125 a chance to earn points and possibly qualify for some of those designated events and even the majors at the beginning of next season. So there's actually, you're not going to see the fields with stacked names in them. But you actually have some guys that have a lot to play for. So at the top of the board this week is Max Holmes looking for a three-peat. Be the first three-peat since Steve Stricker pulled it off at the John Deere Classic back in the day. He's looking to go for three-peat. He's a short shot at about 7-1. You got Justin Thomas playing this event. A few guys who are on the Ryder Cup team who were just over in Rome, Gil. So I'm staying away from those guys. You're going to see a lot of the familiar favorites as far as guys that did bet. Cam Davis, it really finished out well in August, so I'm going back to the well with him 25-1. Steven Yeager, another guy really important off the tee here. I'm going with mainly guys that are quality distance guys. Steven Yeager, a little bit good distance, good accuracy as well. We're talking real small fairways here. So played an outright in top 20s on both him and Cam Davis. Other longer shot outrights, Doug Gim and Ches Reavie. And then tournament matchups here, Steven Yeager over Saeed Theegala, Ches Reavie over Lucas Herbert, and Doug Gim over Nick Hardy. Those are all my plays. Dialing it back for the fall, though. Come on.
Where does this rank in your outlay?
This is, I would say, a third of what I normally bet, you know, for a PGA Tour event if we're talking the middle of June.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, yeah, I think you need to dial it back. If you're looking at stats like I do, look at longer-term stats. I'm sure you do that when the Australian Open rolls around. You're looking at longer-term form instead of recent form because a lot of these guys have been sitting on a beach the past couple weeks.
Deeper dive. It's called Long Shots. Podcast wherever podcasts are available. We do the Megapod tomorrow. Todd Wishnev, Will Hill, and I with Adam Chernoff. We'll do that after the show tomorrow, which features the crack man, Bill Krakenberger, unscripted, live from the D. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.